I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to the Junk Time AFL podcast for round 11 and 12, 2020. We're coming to you from Wayne Jackson Studios and Rod Carter Studios. My name is Michael Chamberlain, and joining me is a man who wants to take a moment to talk about the exemplary umpiring we had last night. Carlton v Frio, it's the one and only Adam Rosenbach.
Thank you, Michael, and thank you for allowing me this opportunity to talk about our umpiring brethren. And they just, you know what, people have just, they've been slagged from pillar to post this season.
Unbelievable.
And these guys, it has been unbelievable. You're right. It is, when I sit there and I read some of the rubbish that people write about these poor umpires, and I sit there in disbelief and disgust that people would put down someone who's just essentially doing their job.
Yep, yep. Just the average, like, everyday, run-of-the-mill guy who runs backwards.
Exactly. You wouldn't, you know, you wouldn't walk into an accountant's, for example, and go, "You fucking dumb, weak, low dog cunt. What the fuck are you?" You wouldn't do that.
For sure. And they're so, like, they're in this COVID times, they are on the front line.
They are.
And people abuse them for no reason whatsoever.
Yeah, they are our real first responders.
Why aren't we clapping at 9 p.m. for them?
Yeah, exactly. Where's their? I'm lost for words. I'm like Robbo. I'm stunned that people have been getting into him, and they did an absolutely fantastic job in the wet over in Perth. These guys are living in a hub. They're away from their families, and yet they still managed to make every correct decision. Like, last night I was watching it back, and I just thought, you guys have not missed a beat. Like, you have that, you know, some people would go, well, that's against Carlton. I go, yeah, but it's a correct decision. And therefore, I trust what these guys have been given a directive from Gill, from
Clarko.
From Clarko. All the big wigs have got in there, and they've gone, you know what, we'll take on board what you're saying, and we will do the right thing. And they have not missed a beat. And congratulations to the umpiring fraternity and, I don't say maternity, what do I say?
Family. Yeah, family.
Yeah, family. It's a family.
It's men and women, yeah.
Yeah, it's brothers and sisters out there.
Yeah, that's fraternity. The point. Actually, I do want to backtrack a little bit. I love it how you said that they're away from their family, and yet you didn't say their family and friends, because we as know, or no, they have no mates.
Now, see, again, why do you do that? Why do you have a go at the umpires?
So you're talking obviously about the kick after the siren, Jack News. Like, unbelievable, unbelievable. So a couple of free kicks before that, but we'll get to that. But then pretty much kicked it from the same spot that Robbie Gray broke your hearts a few weeks ago up in Queensland.
Yeah, he did. So he's hard on the boundary. The siren goes. Photographer.
Get the fuck out of the fucking way, you fucking low dog.
Have you got a transcript of me last night?
He like, wouldn't fucking hell. Move. And the security guard behind him, they're going, they're fucking doing like a box defense. It's like trying to block him in. It's like, can you fucking move? And by the way, photographer, you get a better shot if you just move like 5 meters in front. I saw the shot that you got, okay? Just fucking move. And security guard, fucking get up, I'm ropeable. And then, wait a second. There's about 150 meters of cable we've just left lying on the boundary line.
Yeah, and then, we'll let Jack Nunes pick that up and move it himself, which he kind of did and then stood on it anyway.
Dude,
that was like, just get the fuck out of the way, dickheads. And then when that went off the boot, I was like, that's a really, really good kick.
Yep.
And because the kicks before that, Big H had fucking booted one that just went high in the air. Liam Jones did what Liam Jones did when he was a forward. And I was just like, we're going to lose. We owned the last half and we just couldn't score any goals. And I was like, it's all done and dusted. And then it was an unbelievable kick, 40 metres out on that angle.
So you're watching it at home, obviously, in the current Victoria shutdown.
Not only the current Victorian shutdown, I was a bit scratchy on Friday morning, thought I'll do the right thing, went and got a COVID test.
Oh, this no way. What was 10 wrong?
10 a.m. I just woke up a bit scratchy, so I thought, may as well get tested. Just, you know, just to be on the right side of the law, Michael.
Sure. Did you look at the 15 stubbies in your bib and go?
No, they were fine. They keep me lubricated. So I went and did that. And as we're recording at 5 o'clock on the Sunday afternoon, and I still have not been told. So I've been fucking stuck indoors. Well, I went to Bunnings for a little bit. I've been to IKEA. I've been to about three supermarkets.
Yeah, of course, because you're a sovereign citizen. And you know your 1948 human rights charter.
Exactly.
Like the back of your hand.
Yeah, and in the charter it says one must be able to go to Bunnings when one needs a flat pack.
Awesome. Now I'm actually struggling to think of when Carlton won a game with a kick after the siren. I can't really remember one of even the last couple of decades.
So I reckon Fev had one really late against Adelaide in about 2005 or 6 under Dennis Pagan.
The one on the boundary?
Yeah, but yeah. I can't remember that being after the siren.
It wasn't after the siren, no. It was very late in the game, though.
Yeah, that's a really good question. I reckon the last time we did have a chance at it was when Sticks missed that one against Essendon, where it was a draw and everyone thought he was going to get it because he was like 15 out on an angle and he kicked it out in the full.
Yeah, that could be a good point. Yeah, no, it's been a while. I mean, obviously there's the famous one, Ben Dixon against Carlton, but that's not for Carlton, but I just want to bring up that game. I'm sure if you ask Ben, he'll say the same thing.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway,
dude,
umpires, give him a massive tick. Really good job. I mean, it was a tough in the last bit. Tabiner tapped the ball out. It was deliberate. Sam Doherty, he kicks it. He gets hit after. I mean, I'm surprised it's not reported, but, you know, they paid the free kick. Free kick downfield, correct. I've ticked that off as well. And even though Michael Gibbons, the ball almost hit him, you know, in the head, they gave the kick to Jack Nunes.
Yep.
I'll give that a tick as well, you know, just because Nunes is a better kick.
It's really interesting you say how much you love the umpires currently.
I love them.
Yeah, just by the fact I'm just looking at your Twitter right here now. And obviously, Junk Time is out there. If you know, Adam has Twitter, but you know, really, don't bother. don't waste the click. It says here 20 hours ago, so probably during the game. Is there a law in WA that says Carlton aren't allowed any free kicks? It's kind of interesting how you're kind of so supportive of umpires while you've been tweeting things like that.
Look, sometimes I take medication during games. And I can't remember what I write. So to get through tough games, I'm very, very heavily medicated at the moment.
Can we go back to August 9 when you said, if the ball is genuinely trapped, what the fuck does writhing around prove? Rubbish free kick. Hashtag AFL Eagles Blues. So that's from the game last week. And then you followed that very shortly afterwards with, in your support of the umpires, who cares if the umpires are in the hubs? I've slept in a dinky motel in outback Queensland and still done my job properly. I mean,
I did.
Questionable. I mean, I'd like to see the audience's reaction to that.
The people of Mount Isa, they fucking, well, when they finally arrived, they fucking loved them.
So yeah, I find your supportive umpires a little bit contradictory right now. I don't want to be a member of the White House press corps right now, but
But here on the podcast, I have been nothing but supportive. I mean, you'd have to go back a fair way.
Yeah, I think it was maybe 2 weeks ago that you said that we should actually prove a point, and when umpires get abused, we should go so far as actually just kill one of them. So I feel like that is possibly a crime.
Can I say, though, getting that thread out there, that would have gone through the umpiring family and the message would have gotten through last night. They would have been like, fucking hell, mate. If we don't give this ball to Nunes, one of us could pay.
But fuck, man, how good was Heffernan last night for Carlton? Heffernan was unbelievable. What a great recruit for you guys.
Who's Heffernan?
Heffernan. He was amazing. In that last quarter, he was amazing.
Who's Heffernan?
Andrew Heffernan. He was fantastic.
Is he an umpire?
He was the umpire who gave the two free kicks for you guys.
I fucking love him.
He's in the middle of the ground. Man, what a pickup. He should be. He's probably leading your best and fairest at this stage.
Well, that wouldn't be hard, Michael.
Dude. Okay. You got to win. Dude, are you pushing for the eight now?
I think we're about a game off. We're still behind. I think Melbourne and Essendon and GWS are still a game clear of us. We are playing the Gold Coast Suns. So pretty much every game we have from here, if we don't win, we're eliminated, essentially.
Sure. Every game would be an 8-point game, would it be fair to say?
probably in this truncated season, maybe even a 12-point game, Michael. I know is very rare, but yeah, we're already into that part of the season. But also Gold Coast are in exactly the same position as us. They had the draw against Essendon last week. And so now they, you know, need to keep winning. Although that sort of half game helps them a little bit because it doesn't really matter about percentage anymore.
Well, then I find it interesting too because, you know, about a week ago, was it the president of Melbourne came out saying it was an un-Melbourne-like performance?
Fucking hell, didn't he tear into him?
It was an un-Melbourne-like performance by the fact that they were, I don't know, like within five goals at three-quarter time. I don't know,
embarrassing.
I think we'd have to go back to the 1950s to find what a Melbourne performance was like. But if you look right now, they're in the eight. They're in the eight. You know, we kind of everyone's shitting on them, but they're in the eight, and they have that game. I mean, a few teams have games in hand and stuff like that, but they still have that catch-up game against Essendon they've got to do at some stage.
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, it's bloody anyone's. And we are recording this as Essendon take on St Kilda. And St Kilda, they're really kind of pushing hard now for top four, you would think. Six goals up.
That would be really cool as I try to navigate the fucking AFL website. How fucking confusing is it, you motherfuckers? It was so easy last year. Just fucking fix it. Anyway, our Patreon, Adam. Our Patreon. Thank you all the people who signed up for our Patreon. It's been very kind of you.
I love you guys more than the umpires. Can I just say that right now? So, yeah, if you want to help us out, and we do really appreciate it, you can go to patreon.com/junktimeAFLpod. Get on board. We love you all. Thank you so much for helping us out. And if you want to grab some great little merchandise for your isolation times, for your stage fours in Victoria, you know, we can send our post outside of the state, but it comes with its own risk, people. You've seen what's happening in New Zealand. I'm just saying, maybe don't order it today before I've got my...
Before you get the all clear. Yeah, maybe tweet that you get the all clear and Junk Time can look on. Yeah.
Yeah. So if they go to junktime.bigcartel.com and you can get your stubby holders.
And big controversy too at Australia Post, that the Postmaster General has been slowing down the delivery system to stop us from selling our merch. Like it's ridiculous.
Mate, I've seen them around here. They're just taking out post boxes around the country to you know, harm the Junk Time brand, and that's disgusting.
So you talk about the Saints might be on the way to top four. So they've got a bit of motivation this year. So they've kind of brought in like an idea of replicating the Ashes, or like when they've gone to a hub, they've got five games.
Yep.
And they've called it almost like an Ashes series, and they kind of play those games, and even gone so far as to buy a replica of the Ashes urn.
Really?
And put it in team meetings.
It must be incredible as a coach and, you know, the brains trust, the assistant coaches and stuff, to try and come up with motivational things every you know, week to get the players up. Because you look at even Brisbane yesterday, they looked lethargic against North Melbourne. They copped a spray from Chris Fagan at halftime, and they came out and they got the job done. So when you go into a hub, you go, fucking what magical thing can we think of? And then they go, hey, let's, you know, what else is five? What else is a best of five? And they came up with the bloody Ashes. Genius from Rats.
Yeah, I mean, they could have gone with like, well, like the NBA finals. Aren't the early ones best of five?
And they are.
And maybe in the Major League Baseball, aren't the early ones best of three maybe, and then best of five, and then best of seven? I can't
remember.
Best of
seven is the end, yeah. So, you know, if they go into a hub for seven, they've fucking got that covered. It's a World Series, it's a Major League, you know, it's NBA, whatever you need.
I'm actually curious where you do buy a replica of the Ashes urn, because I would imagine that would be quite copyrighted.
Well, I just did a quick search while we were chatting just then, and an official, this is on eBay, an official Cricket Australia Ashes urn, exact replica it says, Michael. Mm-hmm. And if I've ever been on eBay, I know that when they say something is exact...
Yeah.
You won't be able to tell the difference. Like when you come, you could have people over and they'll be like, mate, have you got the bloody Ashes? And you're like, oh yeah.
It is the most underwhelming trophy in the world. Have you ever seen it in the flesh?
Is it at Lords?
I think it has a permanent residence at Lords now, because I think the structure is kind of a bit broken and the like.
I did do the tour of Lords, and I imagined that they would have at least taken us past it. So I'm going to say yes, but because it's so unremarkable, I don't actually recall it.
Yeah, it is the kind of thing. I think I've seen it like two or three times now, and you kind of get there and you're like, and you know it's tiny and stuff like that. You know, you get it. But then you kind of get there and you go, oh, that is like the size of my finger, you know?
Why would they make such a shitty... Like, you look at the Stanley Cup, right? The Stanley Cup needs 8 blokes to fucking lift it. Yeah, it's enormous. With the Ashes, I know that they... What came first? Did they burn the bales and then go, we need to find a vessel for this? Or did they have a vessel and go, well, you can't burn everything?
That's a really good question, actually. That's a really good question.
Sorry, cricketing question without notice.
But also by the fact that it's a particularly unique vessel. Like, it's not the kind of vessel that you would put the ashes of, say, a person in. Like, they wouldn't fit.
So unless your friend was a little person.
It's almost like an egg cup, really. Like, if you took the top off, you'd put an egg in it and you'd eat that. Yeah.
Perhaps that's what it was.
But they have some weird ones over there. I mean, Alan James talked about the story about paying the price and the little boy buying shoes. He talked about that being, you know, as a coach, you've got to kind of tell a different message and you kind of eventually have to come up with little stories and stuff like that because you've said the same thing, you know, for 8 years, 9 years.
Yep.
Bevo here. I don't remember this one. Bevo, essentially, Bevo famously turned to the gobstopper scene in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory in 2016. So I'm trying to think, is that the bit where Charlie hands back the gobstopper to Willy Wonka and then Willy Wonka becomes a nice guy and says, hey, I'm going to give a 10-year-old my entire chocolate company? And by the way, Grandpa, you spent the first third of the film fucking lying in bed. You couldn't walk. And now all of a sudden you're walking around here, mate.
Yeah, how about that?
Fucking someone's on workers' comp.
How about that? Wasn't there a Willy Wonka 2 where he's busted for having that many children in his factory die?
That's a good point. And then also, why isn't there a Willy Wonka 3 where they need to get some fresh new blood into the company and so they get Herdy to come in and run the chocolate factory?
That's perfect. Love it. No, I thought it was the one where what are they eating where they start to go up into the fan? I haven't watched this movie in a long, long time.
I believe
because I'm an adult.
Yeah, sure. I believe, if I remember correctly, they were having like soda pop, like, you know, soft drink. And then you had to burp to get lower. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
The fucking OH&S at fucking Willy Wonka's factory is fucking off the charts.
It needs a lot to be desired.
Let alone the illegal immigrants he's got working for him.
Those poor little people turned orange. What are you fucking pumping out there? How much would you expect to pay for an official Cricket Australia Ashes urn exact replica?
Okay, is that like from Cricket Australia kind of thing? Like, I suppose you have to get the official merch through them, would that be right?
Okay, perhaps this
isn't it's eBay,
perhaps this isn't as official as you're thinking.
Yeah, official off online, 25.
Michael Chamberlain, you
nailed it.
You bloody know your shit cricket memorabilia.
Bingo bango.
24-45. There is one here, hand signed by Steve Waugh, with photographic proof.
Yeah, sure, it's not though.
Well, there's photographic proof of it.
Yeah, no, it's not though. Do you remember I had a mate years ago? You remember those VB had like those little Bernie dolls that would interact with the...
Absolutely. What a great campaign that was.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. It's a man who's built his reputation for drinking like 52 cans on the way to London and yet has never talked about it. Never has, never will. His words.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I'm going to say, because there's not a lot of that flight that he recalls.
Good point, actually. Yeah.
Like, you know what they should do?
What kind of story can you tell? Well, yeah. I got on a plane to Sydney and then a steward gave me 52 beers. Anyway, I got taken off in a wheelchair. End of story.
You know what I'd love to hear from? Imagine Booney had the window seat and you're the fuckwit in the middle seat. That's the guy I want to hear from. Oh, yeah, you think David Boone's a fucking hero, do you? Yeah, well, you didn't have that fat little fuck climbing over you 15 hours during the flight to England.
But I feel like it was a bit like the when Roger Bannister broke the four-minute mile, in that he had pacers going around with him, so four laps, and so he'd have people running with him.
So you think people dropped in and out of legs?
I feel like that people dropped in for, like, you know, 6 or 7 beers with Bernie to kind of keep him going.
Now, that's the Australian way, isn't it?
It's fucking mate looking after a mate.
Yeah, exactly. They go, mate, let us know when we're over the Maldives because I'm fucking checking in.
Mate, that's why they fucking fought on the beaches, mate.
Do you reckon the people on the flight, word would have got around that Booney, once he's done his first slab, right, and you've seen the fucking air hostess, because this is late 80s, early 90s.
89, okay. So I reckon you would have had 2 stops on that flight. I reckon you would have... I don't reckon you could do a like one stop trip back then. So maybe you go up to like Singapore, maybe
Singapore,
then stop somewhere, maybe in Europe, maybe in Africa, Middle East, and then go to London.
Yeah.
But I don't reckon you'd do, you wouldn't have done a 16-hour and then like a, you know, 10-hour like you do nowadays.
Because back then, you're on the flight, there's no screens on the back of the seats in front of you, so you're either reading a book or you're fucking bored. You know, there was probably one film on show.
You get
so
a movie, yeah.
Fuck. Yeah, you would notice how often the way the hostess has come over
Dude.
To give Booney a can. Like, that would get around the flight, I reckon. Like, there'd be people up in, like, down the back in economy going, I'm hearing David Booney with 182 cans. Like, even the pilot would be coming down. You go, is he alive?
You know, do you remember that scene at the end of Up in the Air? I don't know if you've seen it, the George Clooney film with Anna Kendrick. And
No.
George Clooney is working for a company and he's got a massive amount of miles. And he wants to get kind of like to like, you know, platinum card where, you know, 10 million miles. And they give you a special card. Only like, you know, 5 people in the world have it. And the pilot come down and has a chat to you. Do you think that happened with Booney when he got to 52?
Yeah.
Like the pilot came down and just shook his hand and like gave him like a gold VB can and just said, you know, it's a privilege to be in the presence of an immortal.
And also, why was he trying to break? Was there a record he was trying to break? Why did he go to 52?
I feel like there was a record. Oh, sheesh. I'm going to say maybe a Doug Walters or something.
I was going to say Rod Marsh.
So yeah, I think Doug Walters, Rod Marsh. Yeah, one of them. Yeah. I think they gave it a nudge. Yeah. I mean, fuck, imagine when they were doing the trip on the boat. Take 3 months to get there.
Yeah. Keith Miller had 784 cans.
That's not including the sherry. But so anyway, my mate, so the Booney doll, yeah. So my mate, years ago, like it was on top of her TV and her and her husband were watching like a particularly scary film.
Yeah.
And it got to a really tense moment. And this is like, this is about 3 months after the cricket season. So the Booney was now inactive. It got to a really scary moment. You know, someone's about to jump out from behind a doorway. And then it's getting really spooky, really spooky, really spooky. And then all of a sudden the Booney goes, get us a beer, mate. And they go, what the fuck? Oh, fuck. They said it was the freakiest thing ever. Like, it'd been inactive for, like, 3 months. Had not said a word.
Wouldn't that be a good horror film of just, like, a Booney?
An evil Booney doll.
No, just an evil Booney just coming after you. And everywhere you go, he's just, give us, the last words you hear are, get us a fucking beer, mate. And then, boom, you're fucking dead.
Dude, what a character. What a character. Yeah. A man who has said very little is one of the, you know, one of the iconic characters of Australia.
That is a really good point. You don't hear a lot from Booney, do you?
No, he was a selector for a while.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, heck, you know, loved a beer, loved a dart, you know.
Who didn't?
Loved his red meat.
Who doesn't?
And he could, you know, sit back and make a ton. Bloody hell, mate.
Nah, what a legend. Hey, I tell you, speaking of legends now, St Kilda at the moment, as we said, are absolutely thumping the Bombers. You know what Essendon need? People are saying they're a little bit rudderless. They're kind of like, who's their coach? Is it Woosha? Is it Truck? What are we doing? You know, we don't really have a forward line. Joe Danaher's out. Stringer's out. We're just a bit all over the shop. They're falling out of the eight. They're probably, the way it's tracking, not going to make the finals. And some people this week have come out and said, you know what the Bombers need right now, Michael?
Mm.
When they're just a little bit lost.
We know.
Hurdy.
Brendan Goddard and Grant Thomas both
said the old
that
team.
Hurdy needs to come back. Now, I'm trying to work out the context and when they said this by the fact that I can't really find it in the article that they, I don't know if it was on a podcast or they've just kind of gone to them and said, how do you fix Essendon? And it's kind of weird that they've both come up with the same answer. They say the main thing is that with Worsfold going next year, in that they'll have $1 million free in the soft cap so they can get a few more people in.
And that they sort of say that Truck Rutten needs like a, you know, an elder statesman,
a mentor,
at his side.
You know, someone who coached the team for a few years, coming off a career of never having coached his own team, apart from the Paris Poodles, we should say that, Paris Poodles.
Don't forget the Poodles.
And then
recklessly
bringing in one of the most ridiculously corrupt is not the word for it, by the fact that I'm just trying to think of a better word for it, but the most hopeless. Okay, I'll put it this way. The guy that Hurdy brought in to fix his club, to help his club, said that the paper documents that he did not have, he said after about a year, he said they may have possibly disintegrated, okay?
Yes.
Yeah. He got the big old tick of approval from Hurdy.
As did Dr. Ageless, who has only recently been back in the papers for, I think, maybe selling a coronavirus remedy. Yeah, which apparently doesn't work.
What the fuck? Don't tell me that, Adam. Oh, no. Oh,
I know.
I bought shares in the company.
Yeah, I thought I was going to be ageless and coronavirusless.
So they reckon he needs a bit of a mentor. Now, it's interesting, actually, by the fact that my vague memories of the mentor thing hasn't really worked out that great. Like, Parco came back to Hawthorn to be a bit of a mentor for Schwabby.
Okay.
I mean, there was Parco when he left Carlton. He did a bit of the Worsfold Rutten kind of handover.
Yes, they gave it to, Wayne Britton had it for a couple of years, and that he got Carlton when they were on the slide. So then they got in Dennis Pagan after that.
Yeah.
The most successful one would be probably Paul Ruse into John Longmire. That's the one where you go,
yep.
Everyone knew it was going to happen.
Yep.
It's happened. They got a flag out of Longmire. It kind of has worked. The Paul Ruse, Simon Goodwin one, you kind of go, jury's still out on that one, but it seems to be okay. I'm sure Melbourne fans would say differently. The Melbourne fans I talk to are not overly enamoured with Simon Goodwin.
And you can think about those two grand finals that the Swans made, 2014, 2016. Like, you know, if they pinch one of them, like Longmuir's CV is all of a sudden way better.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
And I got to say, like, people pile shit on it, but I thought the Buckley Malthouse one, I thought they had pretty good year.
And the thing is, though, it was so smooth. It was so calm.
There was no undercutting.
Yeah, there was no bitterness in the end of it.
No,
yeah.
No. It was both sides agreeing to, you know, a handshake agreement and going, yes, I am for it. I will step down. He will take over.
Yep.
And I will not say another word about this during my entire time here. And that's probably, that would be the example that every other club would want to follow.
You'd want to follow that one. Because, I mean, I remember Eddie Maguire saying when he did the transition and they talked about it, and he said that he thought Mick Malthouse was going to die. That's how serious it was. And then we look at Mick Malthouse, you know, a decade later, and he's fighting fit and actually not particularly old. I think the way to kind of sum up the whole situation is that when Mick Malthouse was about to hold up the Premiership Cup in 2010 and he referenced the fact that he only had 1 year left. And I thought that was a delightful way to unite the club.
that's a man who's accepted his position. And he wanted to let everyone know that he was happy with the transition that was coming in only a year's time from him holding up a Premiership Cup and also taking the side to a grand final the next year, even though he was only minutes from death.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Fuck.
Good times. But I tell you what, the fun doesn't stop rolling for Nathan Buckley. He almost got himself in a little bit of controversy in their, because we've run through about eight rounds in a row, their previous game in Adelaide Oval,
yeah.
He was walking out from the coach's box, gave a fist bump to a Collingwood supporter, which is a dangerous thing in itself.
Absolutely, yeah, you don't know where that fist has been.
No, well, you do, and that's why you don't do it.
So David Hamsey was the bloke that he fist bumped. Lifelong and Collingwood supporter.
Yeah, and so Bucks, this guy went to give Bucks a handshake, and Bucks went, oh no, we can only do a fist bump. Quick thinking. Like, this is a man who, obviously, when he played tennis after the victory, would have only fist bumped. He's not stupid. He knows the protocols.
So then a journo came at him on Twitter and said the footage was a bit deceptive by the fact that Bucks had the back to the camera. So he couldn't quite tell if it was a handshake or a fist bump.
Yep.
And then they did a bit of fishing around because I think they said that would have been Bucks' second strike and then he would have been in big trouble.
Massive trouble.
I mean, there were some people earlier in the year calling for a $100,000 fine and they get suspended for the end of the year. I mean, I don't know who those people are. then it got found out that he just gave a fist bump and it was okay. You know, it was all fine. He didn't breach any protocol in the hub.
No, but this is really nice that Bucks tweeted this out. He said he can't really remember the guy's name, but he knew his face. He said over 20 years ago, this guy said he was watching football in a bar, defended me to a group of patrons, was subsequently set on and bashed, losing his sense of taste and smell. Now, a Collingwood supporter's sense of taste is very fucking questionable at best anyway. Maybe he's talking about things you can taste in your mouth, but this is a really nice thing that Bucks has done. He's gone, fuck, this guy's defended me in a bar. someone's fucking given it to him for him for doing that. And I wanted to say thank you.
So that was the story that Buck said.
A beautiful story. The man stands up for him. Yeah, it was heartwarming. It was very heartwarming.
Now, look. Okay, look. Look, then the bloke who gave the fist bump told his story. And
yeah,
it's a little different. So the idea that he praised Buck, so 20 years ago, so 2000, let's say that.
No, 96 it comes out.
Oh, okay, 96. Okay, yeah, gotcha. Yep. Okay, so where have the Pies been about then? Okay, I'm trying to think. Okay, Lee Matthews would have just left.
I reckon they're in the end of the, towards the end of Tony Shaw, or no, probably the start of Tony Shaw, because Tony Shaw was like there for 3 or 4 years. So I reckon they were in the doldrums, because I don't think Bucks came into a strong club.
And so Bucks would have debuted there, let me think, maybe 94, do you
four,
reckon?
Four, I reckon. Yep, I reckon 94. I reckon you're right.
Okay, look at AFL tables. Pies finished 11th in 96. And yeah,
let's out say, of 16 teams.
Let's say Bucks is, you know, not debut 94. So, you know, third, fourth year player.
Yeah.
Doing his thing. So the guy got in an argument at the club.
Yeah, so they'd lost to the Swans that day by 34 points. So this happened in Sydney.
Yeah, gotcha. Okay, so Buck said, the bloke defended me, got bashed in the venue, and yeah, I want to fist bump the bloke.
Yeah.
So words from the bloke.
Yep.
The situation was I had an argument with a lady about Bucks and got booted out of this well-known joint in King's Cross.
Okay. Well-known joint, mate?
Well, that's a good question, because King's Cross back then, nowadays, it's fucking empty.
Flourishing.
No, back it's in not, the day. Yeah, flourishing back in the day. Yeah, now it's a it's fucking a dead zone.
It's ghost town.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm trying to think. I like to think it's the Bourbon and Beefsteak where Ricky got punched.
Oh, but there were so many good places to get bashed in King's Cross.
Good point.
I mean,
good point,
that one got all the publicity because Ricky Ponting did get beaten up in there. So when was that? That would have been around the same era.
Yeah, it would have been probably maybe 99-ish, I reckon, yeah.
Yeah.
And so that was the Burnham Beefsteak. They've now upgraded it, Adam, and they've given it the sophisticated name of the Bourbon. So it's a really... but they have actually done it up, like, in, you know, the last decade or whatever.
Yeah.
So you got kicked out of the Cross. Okay. So I don't know if you... Does he go and live in Sydney, or do you kind of come up for the game and then just watch it on the TV at the Cross? Or? Oh,
bloody... Collingwood support a question without notice. Yeah. I think he might be... I think it might say later on in the article that he has gone across and done... He lives in Melbourne, I believe, and quarantined and is allowed to be over there.
Gotcha. So I was walking down the street and I bumped into this bloke and he turned around.
So he's been booted. He's been booted from...
Booted from the venue. And actually, I must say...
defending Bucks.
In 1996, to get booted from a venue on the Cross would have been pretty fucking hard, okay?
Yeah.
So he's yelling at a lady about... You know,
or, no, it might have been hard unless you were really supporting Bucks and everyone in the bar was anti-Bucks.
Yeah, sure. But also back in 1996, if you said the words AFL, people go on, what? Huh?
Yeah. Well, that probably started the bashing.
So Bucks' version, he's defended me, got bashed in the venue. Okay, this guy's version.
Yeah.
I got an argument, got booted from the venue and then bumped into a bloke and got hit in the street. They are... I will put to you, Adam Rosemarks, two completely different things.
So you know when you just get into an argument with someone at a bar, like you say to me, mate, Carlton are no good, and I go, mate, you're a fucking idiot, and then I'm booted straight away.
Yeah.
As soon as they go, mate, hey, no arguing here. We're all on the same page. If he says Carlton are no good, mate, Carlton are no good, you cannot argue the toss. And that's exactly the kind of thing that happens up in Sydney.
I don't know why I brought you to the Hawthorn Social Club in the first place, but apart from that. But then the idea that, you walk out and you go, that's the reason. Okay, yeah. I don't know. I just smell a rat. I smell a rat. Yeah. Hey, you know, we've had a few moments in this pod today where we've kind of gone, you know what? Sometimes 1 + 1 doesn't equal 2, you know?
No.
We'll wrap it up shortly, Adam. We've got some footballers in real life. But a bit of news out of Richmond.
Oh, yeah. What have we got?
So they're in the bubble. We're in the bubble. They're in Queensland. Queensland, that's right.
They're definitely in Queensland, yeah.
It's changing every 5 seconds, yeah.
Oh, it does. I don't know where any teams are.
But for the lack of discipline, they got a bit of punishment. People who give away 50-metre penalties. They do.
About time. They gave away some ridiculous penalties, 50 metres against Port Adelaide. The Josh Caddy one where... Did you see Dimmer in the box?
Oh, where dude.
He yelled, "Get the fuck out of the way, Josh, you dumb cunt." I think it's time we start miking up coaches now.
I think it's not fair that we don't have, say, because we don't have the audio of the coach's box.
Yeah, yeah.
We should get sign language, you know, like they do for press conferences and stuff
Auslan
like that.
Interpreters.
Yeah, yeah, Auslan interpreters. So we can have a little window on the side.
Great.
And we can have a sign language kind of, you know, telling people what the coaches are saying.
That's perfect. And then, because they would sledge opposition players quite readily, I reckon. Fuck, he's soft.
I'd be really interested, actually, what the verbal tics are. So do you remember, was it the 2002 grand final, I believe it was, where they actually had the
Lee Matthews
mic'd
up?
Lee Matthews, yeah.
Yes, and I think, the lips of Lethal.
And I think one of the notable things of that was that he didn't talk that much.
Yep.
That was what people were surprised at. But I suppose they were a pretty well-oiled machine.
Yes, yeah.
So they probably knew what they were doing. I suppose maybe, like, if you got a... I mean... You know, you're going to be yelling more if your team is doing badly, aren't you?
Well, it's interesting that coaches tend not to scream as much these days. Like, I reckon Bevo's very calm. David Teague seems really calm in the box. Mm. Whereas you get, like, John Longmire, he's learnt that the cameras are on him, so he would often duck under the desk, he'd cover his mouth,
yep.
He'd punch Dean Cox in the head. Like, he's pretty animated. I reckon Clarko would be pretty lippy as well.
I think there's a bit of that. I think they're aware of the cameras on them, so they try not to get too excited. I mean, the Scott brothers give it a go, but, you know. But also, if you put together a one-minute montage of a coach, you know, ranting and raving, like, that can be over the course of 2 years. You know, it's not like... It's
that's very true.
Yeah. So anyway, they have a new punishment at Richmond. If you give away a 50-metre penalty...
What do you got? It's got to be... What would you do? Like, $5,000 fine? You got to do 1,000 burpees? What is it? It'd be something really tough.
Yeah, you got to do a beep test, something like that. You know, put yourself through the pain. No, you got to...
Yeah, exactly. And it would benefit the team as well. That's what I like about it. That's the Richmond way. It would benefit everyone.
You have to change the nappy of Trent Cotchin's son.
Okay. Yeah. No, that works for everybody.
That's the punishment. Now, I mean, sadly, his son is... 27 years old. It's a tragic story. But yeah, that's the deal. And it says the idea came from the captain himself. Really? Really?
Oh, that's very thoughtful of him.
How convenient of you, Trent.
Yeah. And the other punishment is if you kick it out on the full, you have to
do
wash
his
all
wife's
his car.
Nails.
Yeah. How does he broach this? I know it's kind of a feel-good, funny punishment, but does everyone just look around going, why are we changing his fucking kids?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because also, he wouldn't be the only person in there with kids, surely. Surely there'd be a couple.
No, I think, and this could be where some of the issues, maybe some internal issues at Richmond, I think his might be the only family that's up there, which may not have gone down well with everyone.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Is that some mail without notice, maybe?
I believe it might be, yeah.
Yeah, gotcha. Because
I think
would Jack have two kids by now? Would that be
Yeah, and I think Shane Edwards would have kids. He's not up there at the moment.
I think he might have had the baby over the weekend, I think.
Oh, okay, great.
I think I saw a tweet or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah.
But
so
also, if you're a 19-year-old, right? Like, when I don't have any children, I would have no fucking idea how to change a nappy. Like, you're watching me doing it, but you're not letting me do it.
I actually had a thought today in that I actually have not changed a nappy. I have...
No, nor have I.
Oh, well, as of about a day ago, I now have a fourth... a third niece and a nephew.
Yeah.
So shout out to my bro and my sister-in-law, giving birth to little Juliet. I actually never changed a nappy when they were growing up. And it wasn't because I was like, oh, I don't want to do it. No. But I just kind of... It just never happened, which I kind of look back and go... But I kind of look back and go, oh, that was stupid. Why didn't I do that?
It's not your world.
I was near people when they changed nappies. I wasn't like kind of like going, oh, gross, yuck. But I just never actually kind of physically did it myself.
But you'd be happily help out. Like, you'd happily hose the kid off and stuff.
Yeah,
whatever
sure.
People do.
Yeah. Yeah. Hose is a strong word. But
but also, if I was Cotchin, right, you don't get them to do an easy nappy. Because I know I've got a lot of friends with kids. You get them to do the explosive one where the kid's like, shut up, it's back.
Yeah, sure, the worst
and,
one, yeah. And, yeah, and cover, like, it's
cover
like...
the interior of the Jeep.
And probably, like, maybe it'd be great in Queensland for winter right now, but the weather is probably pretty okay. But, like, you know, when they're wearing, like, three layers because it's cold and they've got to, you know, stay warm. Yeah, you want it when it's like, you know, head up to the, you know, the back of their neck.
Yeah.
and you should I mean friend of the show Charlie Clawson talked about on his podcast Dad Pod that he does with Osher Ginsberg, that he had to change his bub on a plane. And she had shat up the back, and he said it was like trying to balance, you know, 12 different things at the same time. So they should construct like a little mini plane toilet. And so when they do the explosive one, you then have to go into the little replica and do things.
Yeah, yeah, no, you make it as difficult as you can.
As difficult as you can, yeah.
Yeah.
We got some footballers in real life, man.
Hit me.
From Jacob. Still Nathan Jones taking a walk through Rundle Mall, Hindley Street, the day before Melbourne v North with a coffee in hand looking ready for the big game, already wearing his Melbourne socks. He turned off Hindley Street heading towards the footbridge.
There you go. He actually would kind of fit in down Hindley Street, the bald head, the beard, the tats.
It's probably a pretty good spot too. A good spotting to pick Nathan Jones if he's got the beanie on, and not get the whole head.
Yeah, that's very true. How do you know he's got a beanie on? Doesn't say it in there.
We had a picture. Yeah.
Did we?
Yeah. There was a picture. Yeah. Sorry.
Love it.
And then turn right, head towards footbridge. What do you think, Adelaide? That's north. Yeah, north of the city. From Anonymous.
Love this.
So you know already it's good. Be good. Yeah. And by the way, also we do have our double passes for King Tut's putt butt still out there for the people who want to send one in from the Goldie. If you see people on the hub.
Yeah, we did offer one to a footballer from real life a few weeks ago, Sean, and he went to King Tut Tut's on the weekend, and he sent us a photo of him. Of his family there, and said, "I probably should have taken it." He was very generous and said, "I don't need it." But mate, that you blew $12, my friend.
They are an offer. If you want to round on us at King Tut, King Tut, it's a plus one.
Yeah, absolutely, mate.
Yeah, I mean we don't fucking skirt those issues. From Anonymous, this is from 2 years ago. I nearly sent it to you before the grand final last year when this guy tried to act like he was such a nice person because he gave away an unwanted orange scarf.
Okay.
What happened was some idiot cut me off in his car completely unnecessarily. Wait a second, Adam's issue. And then turned to give me double middle fingers. Sounds
double.
Like
you. That's hands off the wheel.
And turning too. That is.
That's super unsafe. Hopefully it was a tram driver.
Turned to give me double middle fingers with a huge smile afterwards. I didn't know who it was until he turned to face me, and I suppose he did not think that I might recognise him or that I was a junk time listener. It was Jeremy Bloody Cameron.
Oh, the double off the hands. Jezza, who do you think you are?
And also, too, like, what's he now?
Off the wheel.
26, 27. The middle finger for an adult is very low. Like, it's so meaningless. Like, it's fun for a nine-year-old, but it's not something an adult should do.
Well, you sound like someone who doesn't drive.
Basically, he made a right turn across my lane without looking, and I almost had to stop my car to avoid hitting him. It was a relatively low-speed incident, so nothing too dramatic, but really bad driving, even for Sydney. Instead of apologising, he made sure to give me his parting gesture once his car was in the other lane next to my window, then kept on going. For context...
Oh, mate, chicken.
It was in the middle of a weekday afternoon after around the Birkenhead Point, Rozelle area. Rozelle
great
is...
Great area.
Rozelle roundabout Balmain.
Okay, so nice part of Sydney.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, Balmain, kind of Rozelle, west of the town. Not you know, super west, but midwest.
Not inner west.
I would say verging on medium west.
Medium, okay.
Yeah, but that west is a long way.
Yeah, okay.
Outskirts of inner west.
Okay, good. Yep.
For context, it was the middle of the weekend at Birkenhead, Rosa, where my wife and I had seen a lot of Giants. So maybe they hang around there.
Yep.
Actually, that wouldn't be too far from getting to Homebush.
Okay.
And then Anonymous provided the email exchange.
Oh.
That we got. So should I read that?
Yes, I have not seen this.
Okay, so below is the email exchange I had with the club for your entertainment. I chose to email the head of marketing because he was the only person whose direct email address was listed on their website. Who knows if they actually... Well, we'll get to it. But anyway, okay, I'll read it to you now. Okay. Okay.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, I genuinely junk times. I have not seen this.
So
this
Anonymous took action. I remember there was a guy a long time ago who rather pathetically wrote a letter to Wayne Jackson to complain about Hawthorn's fixture. Okay, so from Anonymous. Okay. Okay, everything redacted. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. Dear Giants, just wish to advise you that one of your players almost caused a crash with my car about 15 minutes ago on Henley Marine Drive in...
Oh, I love that it was immediate emailing action. That is great.
In Canada Bay this afternoon. Not only did they turn right across oncoming traffic, but then when I beeped the horn while almost having to stop to let him through... he turned to me with a big grin and gave me the middle finger as if to say how great he was for doing what he just did and I should suck it. Most drivers in Sydney would not recognise AFL players, let alone any other random dangerous drivers, but this was one, clearly one, Jeremy Cameron, driving a black ute with a number plate, and I won't read that.
Yeah, great.
It's poor form to operate a large vehicle as if one is in a competition. Than to be obnoxious about it. Essentially, if you have your face on TV, aside from that, no concern for causing a car accident. Signed, Anonymous. And we then got
Now, can I just say on that, I imagine, because football clubs are small things, he's given the detail of the rego, he would have said to Jezza, mate, did you give someone the double birds? Well, because it's a fun story.
We do have a reply from the
great,
club.
Great.
Okay, I won't say who the reply was from. Dear Anonymous, okay. Thanks for your email to the club.
Yep.
Fuck, man. They had to fucking stop their day and write a reply.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, well, mate, Wayne Jackson took time out of his day to write to
and
you.
He fucking seemed to have done it like an hour after receiving the letter. this is disappointing to hear this report, and we appreciate you bringing it to the club's attention. Jeremy has been contacted this evening and reminded of his responsibility as a role model in the community and ensure he's driving safely and behaving appropriately.
Lovely.
We hope to see you at a Giants game in the near future. Man, they're dotting every I and crossing every T at the Giants, aren't they?
Well, yeah, you just can't afford to lose members because your full forward is double birding them.
Awesome.
So there is not a hope in hell. Now, people are talking about whether Jeremy Cameron, who is a restricted free agent this year, they're talking about whether he'll go to Geelong, whether he might go to Essendon, you know, teams that need bullocking forward. If he's doing that in Sydney, there is no way he is going to come down to a fishbowl like Melbourne where everyone will know his face.
Yeah, sure.
If he thinks he can get away with the double birds in Sydney.
It's actually an interesting one to talk about by the fact that, I mean, he's in the top 10, probably top 5 paid players in the game.
Yep.
I mean, I don't know how much more money the Giants can offer him, but he seems to be one of those guys you cannot afford to lose. But then also, what can another club offer? Because the money's already off the charts. Like, you know how Buddy went and they were like, we'll offer you that?
Yes.
Now it's like, well, we're offering you, you're already making probably 1.1 or whatever. 1.4? Like, how far
can
it go?
Yeah, but I mean, what if a club offers to pay all his, like, speeding and or driving fines?
Yeah, sure. Maybe like...
You know, clearly the Giants couldn't fit that into their soft cap, but someone like Geelong might be able to.
Maybe they can host, like, a demolition derby on a Thursday night down at Cadinia Park.
Yeah, or if every week he gets a new ute that he hasn't written off.
Yeah, sure. Well, I mean, Ford will still have a connection. I know they're moving out of Geelong, but they still have a connection. Yeah. So there's some stuff in trash.
If he gets a Ford Ranger every week, he'd be down there in a heartbeat. So he doesn't have to take his hands off the wheel. They offer him someone to do the double birds for him.
Or maybe someone else can drive. And so just Cameron can just bird people all the time.
Yeah, or they set up like a... like a bit of a seat in the back of the tray of the Ford Ranger, and he just fucking double birds everyone as they're driving down Riley Street.
Yeah, send an email. I don't give a fuck. I'm Jeremy Cameron, motherfucker.
Yeah. You think Cameron Ling was the mayor of this place? I fucking owned Geelong.
We are going to hit the road. We are junktimeoutforpod@gmail.com, on Twitter, on Facebook, and the gram. Go Hawks.
Go umpires. You do a fantastic job. We love football.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.